Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, family, welcome to another episode of The Real Talk with Chris Richland Show. Listen, I'm excited again, as I say it every week. I'm truly excited and blessed that we have the opportunity to impart knowledge, education, wisdom, as well as work on transformation. Tonight's a really special night. Yeah, that's right. We're going to talk about an amazing topic, and I think that some of you are going to walk away different than you came at. That's really the hope and aspiration, that there will be something that will be said on the smorgasbord, because, you know, we're all about sharing information and knowledge to help us gain insight and direction, and most importantly, revelation knowledge. So that being said, let me just kind of give you a little background about the show, a little foundation. It's all about you. That's right. When you are better, we are better. That means better husbands, wives, mothers, sisters, aunts, uncles, brothers, the whole nine. It begins with you and it ends with you. So if you don't change, neither will your circumstance. It's all about living better, loving deeper, and laughing more. So tonight we are talking about the topic of idealism versus realism. That's it. Idealism versus realism. What does it really mean? And it's not what I expected. So we're going to talk about some of those expectations, too, that you have. We want everyone tonight, feel free to chime in. You can do so if you're listening live online. You can connect with us in our Facebook group by going to Real Talk, The Real Talk with Chris Richardson Show. That's on our Facebook group. You can join us there and chat with us. Now, if you're dialing in, you want to post a comment or share a thought, by all means, do so. The number to do it is 619-924-0869. Again, that's 619-924-0869. So, that being said, I am ready to rock and roll with you all tonight. Oh, I almost forgot one important detail. It's called housekeeping. That's right. That means at the end of the day, we'll take all your calls, questions, comments, but we can agree, that's right, to disagree. Simple as said, that means everyone has an opinion, but yours is not the only one that matters. So we here agree to share the road. That means we can challenge the message, but we don't attack the messenger. That being said, I'm excited again to be joined by so many. I see you calling out there. If you want to share tonight, call in, do so. All you have to do is press 1 on your keypad, and I'll take your name, your comment, and your question for the show. So I'm joined by my good friend now and new partner, Antoine. Antoine, say hello to the family, brother.
God bless you. How's everybody doing tonight? This is Antoine Anderson coming live from Phoenix, Arizona. Definitely grateful and happy to be here and discuss this idealism versus realism. So I'm excited to see what God is going to share with us tonight.
Hey, this is going to be a good topic for discussion. I think that a number of us probably have had a number of situations that we can recall, whether it's, you know, personal relationships, to whether it's family relationships, whether it's church relationships, whatever the case may be, it's all relational. And I think you can look at, you may have signed up for something, and lo and behold, what you signed up for in your mind wasn't what you were prepared for in your reality. So what is idealism? Well, we're going to talk about that tonight, and we're going to break down the difference between that ideal thing and that reality thing. And sometimes, Twan, they don't meet up. And sometimes what's in our head is something that's a perspective. And this is another way of saying it, is that perspective is not always reality. But to some, that reality is their perspective. So we hope that we'll broaden your perspective tonight. We've got Ed and Debbie Smith, or just Debbie and Edward Smith tonight on the line. Deborah, are you there?
No, this is Edward James Smith III, a.k.a. Scissorhands.
Hey, Antoine, when did he become the, I knew he was the third, but when did he add that James from? I didn't know the James, okay, Edward James Smith III, okay, brother. Look,
he's
your
evolving.
Government credential.
That's what it is.
I gave him my entire okay. Government, bro.
That's good, guys. Well, look, let's jump into the heart of the matter here tonight, and you couldn't come in at a more perfect time, Ed, to talk about this subject. Idealism. Now, I'll lay out the foundation for this, and I'll start, because I looked up that word, and I want to work from a practical definition. I've always said what you don't define will ultimately define you. or in some cases, confine you. So we don't want to be limited in our scope. We want to broaden our scope, and we want to work from the same operating room, if you will. That way we're, you know, sometimes we're in the book, but we're on multiple pages. So tonight, let's just dial in on the same page. Here we're going to talk about idealism. And so idealism, by definition, is the practice of forming or pursuing ideals. Okay, which means, especially unrealistically, the idealism of youth. Now, there's a second definition that's philosophy. Any of various systems of thought in which the objects of knowledge are held to be in some way dependent on the activity of mind. Now, that's kind of heavy, so let's kind of break that down. Idealism sometimes, you know, that's a definition. You'd be like, what did you just say? All right. So an idealism is something that's in your mind that might not necessarily connect with your reality of what you see. So it's a thought. It could be fiction. It could be a fact. But sometimes they don't always line up to make it to connect with realism. So what is realism, one might add? Well, here's the definition of that one. It's an attitude or a practice of accepting a situation as it is and being prepared to deal with it accordingly. Now, that's real basics right there. You know, it's the attitude or practice. So that's real. You know, this is what it is. We take it at face value. We're prepared for the situation, and we deal with it accordingly. That's reality. That's realism. Idealism is necessarily, it's an idea that's necessarily in your head that may not meet what's in your reality. So now we've got a problem. So, Twan, when you think of idealism versus realism, and you think of situations, whether it's relationship with boyfriend, girlfriend, and we could use that one for an example and work on that one easily throughout the night. What are some of the scenarios that come to mind for you when you think of, well, this was ideal, and then this was reality, and they're having a hard time making the connections or the distinctions?
You know, I think a couple things come to my mind straight off. One is marriage. Because individuals have an idea of what marriage actually should look like, what marriage is, and even to the point of even the courting of your mate, there's an idea of this perfect fantasy, if you will, if I can use that word, of what it looks like. And the only place that it really exists like that is in a person's mind. Another instance or another example that I love to use is even a life as a believer, following Christ. There are ideals of what that look like that is actually not a reality. And so when I think about that word idealism, it's really, like you said earlier, it's really touching on a person or individual's perspective of the real life situation. And so I definitely know that there are multiple others, but those are the two that came to my mind. Relationship as relates to marriage, and also I walk with Christ.
Brother Ed, hey man, throw a fire dart out there. It's your turn. When you think about idealism versus realism, what comes to mind for you?
Well, first of all, before we talk about what comes to mind, you know, idealism and reality, in any case, needs to be one in the same, and oftentimes the only way that they can become one in the same, you have to be true to yourself. You have to look yourself in the mirror and see it for what it is, so that they can parallel each other. You know, a lot of times the reason why they're not lined up because an idea popped in my head, and there's nothing wrong with it popped in my head, but then not being thought out properly or not being processed properly, you know, it can only just stay in my head. But then I try to make it my reality because it's in my head. But reality is what has been played out in real life. But the idea that's in my head is not being played out in my life. But because it's in my head, you know, I behave as though it's in my real life. And so we find ourselves, especially in relationship, especially if folks who are in the process of getting married, you know, and the ideology that we often have for our marriage or our lifestyle may not necessarily match up with our actual lifestyle, but because it's in our head, you know, we come in with this big expectation, and then when expectations are not being met, you know, then it becomes a problem.
Tuan, he touched on some things there, kind of let the cat
out of the bag,
expectation piece. Go ahead.
Yeah, I wanted to chime in because I think one of the things that he said that I would like to piggyback on, and just kind of if we could just kind of have this have a conversation in this place, if you will. He mentioned something that you have an idea about what's going on in your mind versus what's actually taking place in real life, the reality. And what I've come across, though, is that, and Chris, you mentioned earlier, you said perception. And the reason why I want to touch on this is because something actually can be happening in real life, and you're perceiving it from the wrong perspective because of the idea that's in your head. I'll give you a great example. I had a young lady that I was counseling with, and she and her boyfriend, fiance, whatever, was in the process of, you know, trying to be married and do different things, right? And so what happened was she was looking at a real life their relationship, right? But in her mind, her perception had her jaded from one perspective, because she was looking at this, and her perspective was that this, the things that was taking place, was okay because it just was a part of the process. In our reality, she was missing the reality of the events that were taking place because of what was going on in her mind. So she was looking at a real life situation, but the things that was in her thoughts, her ideal, if you will, of what the process looks like, kept her disconnected from the reality of what actually was going on right in front of her. And so that's why I think that, you know, the ideal can impact how we see what's really taking place. I mean, when you talk about something as simple as a person looking at a glass is half full versus a half empty glass, it deals with what's going on in their mind, their thought process, what is their perception of the reality.
I think that's critically key, and that we focus really on that, because, you know, the mind is one of those things that it's, you know, it doesn't take much. It's what comes in into the retina, and with how you process and see things all play out on what you ultimately, sometimes what you believe too. So the interpretation, I'll give you an example. Okay, let me chase a rabbit here for a second. So I was watching a show called Married to Medicine, and, you know, and there was a doctor. Now, you would think by title, he's a doctor, he and his wife, they're married, and they're somewhat, quote unquote, to the eye, they appear to be successful, you know, and by some degree they are. Okay. But now they're in debt, and this is reality. So ideality in her mind was that, hey, my husband's a doctor, we can ball, but there are,
right,
there are no boundaries. So when I say balling, that means she's spending money without a budget, or spending money on budget but going over the budget, okay? And so now they got this problem. They got one of their uncles is looking for them, and he can take and freeze assets, do this thing called Uncle Sam.
Yeah.
So Uncle comes knocking and saying, hey, y'all owe me over six figures, okay? And so now reality is kicking in. Now, for the husband, he's saying, hey, hold up, babe. Logically, this ain't working for me. We got to make some changes. For the wife, she's saying, but I still want to hold on to my 10,000-square-foot house.
Yeah.
But yet I'm making some changes. In her mind, I'm making changes. In his mind, it's not enough.
That's right.
You see, so the two, they're living in the same situation in a glass house together. But to Tuan's point, with the way he sees it versus how she sees it are not one in the same. They're different. And that's how things play out. So now, here you are. They had the downside, and so they go to a much smaller house so that it can be a much smaller
there
payment.
Still was a nice house,
though.
Still a nice house.
Still a nice house, right?
It's still a nice house. Better than nice, you know what I'm saying? You know, so they did downsize. What I like about it is that they made the decision and they came together. Okay, so they ultimately said, hey, we got a problem. We make this decision, and they're coming together. Now, I'm going to pause for a second here because I'm going to throw this bone over to Toy because Toy's just joining us here now as well. And so I know she's been running the marathon, but we're going to let her, you know, we got a female voice. Toy, you got some noise in your background.
Okay,
my
one more
Toy, what's going on, girl?
Hi there. Oh, my goodness. How are you?
I am doing fantastic, man. I have not heard this voice in a minute.
Absolutely. It feels good to be here.
Yes, ma'am.
So, Toy,
how's everybody doing?
Everybody's good.
Doing
I'm going to introduce you to everybody real quick. You already know Edward. He's on the phone, and we've got my man from
hi.
Toy said hi. Hey, Toy, she's waving
so
up
now,
so you can see her.
Okay.
Yeah, funny. So now we're going to switch gears. Let me introduce you to Antoine Barnes. Antoine's on the phone, too. Go ahead and say hi to Antoine.
Hello, Antoine. How are you?
I'm
Antoine
doing
Anderson.
Well.
I think
how
we're,
are you?
Sorry, Antoine.
Yeah, Antoine Anderson.
Yeah.
It's a pleasure to meet you.
So,
same here.
Now
same
that
here.
We have that. You got the mic, so here's the question, all right?
So
when
you think of idealism
mm-hmm. versus realism, we kind of touched on this a little mm-hmm. bit already, but we want to get a female voice in here as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if you've heard any snippets already of what's been shared, but when you think about idealism versus realism, what comes to mind for you as a female?
As a female, which I have been a work in progress on this myself, as females, we have our own idea. Well, everyone does, but I can only speak for me as a female. We have our idea of what a relationship is, what in our mind. First of all, it really starts from our childhood, the images that we see, the environment that we live in, the example that we have. And based on that, we have our own perception or idea, idealism there, of what a relationship should look like, of how a male should be with us or how we should be with a male or what it takes to have a quote-unquote healthy relationship, because healthy is relative to the perspective of the person that's in the relationship. You could think you have a relationship that's healthy and it could actually be dysfunctional, but because you think it's the norm, because you think that it's your ideal relationship, you don't know anything outside of that. You don't know from what to compare it to know that there are areas of growth or improvement, right? So then you have realism, which is what is actually happening in the relationship, what the actual feelings are, not what you think that person is feeling, but what they are actually feeling, their actual feelings. So you have the idealism or the perceived notion, and then you have the realism, which is the actual, I hate to rhyme, but actual factual, you know, what's really truly in front of you, even as a couple or even by yourself. Your perception becomes your reality. Now, in some cases, that is the case, but that's a self-fulfilling prophecy, and that's for a topic for another time. But in this vein, idealism is what you anticipate, what you think, what you expect, what you hope for in a relationship versus what is actually happening.
Mm-hmm.
What
the
is
reality.
What, does that make sense, the reality of it? Does that
mm-hmm.
make sense?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And oftentimes we distort that.
Yeah, and that's true, Toy. Antoine said something earlier about the perception piece as well. It's something I want to come back to with you for. But you were saying something earlier. Chime back in on what you were saying now that you've heard Toy express her comment on idealism versus realism in the expectation piece. So it'll come back to me, my question. But run with that for a minute, if you would.
Well, I love how what she said I definitely agree with, because she used a key word. She said perceived. It relates to idealism. Is what is my perception on what's actually happening, should I say. So when you think about a person's perception on things, again, we can be looking at the same thing but perceiving mm-hmm. it incorrectly. And the perception comes from what our idea of the situation actually is. As she mentioned, if I'm raised to think that a healthy relationship looks like A, B, C, D, and the reality is that A, B, C, D is not correct, my perception of the actual truth is slanted, and that's just my idealism, because it's just what I perceive, and it's not actuality. It's not truth. It's not the real thing. It's just based on my perception. And I mean, this topic is very extremely critical, I believe, as it relates not only to relationships, but even as we think about our walk with Christ, because there are some ideals, if you will, of what that even looks like versus what the reality or what the realism of that actually is. And so I completely agree with what she stated. Idealism is a perception, and it starts in a person's mind, what I am interpreting a situation to be.
But how can we tie the two together, though? You know, what are some of the things that we... Because, listen, whenever I have or anyone have a perception of something, that perception can be so strong that it deludes your mind and makes you think it's a reality.
Correct.
You know,
So I was asking,
you know, what is it that we can do to tie the two together? You know, the Bible speaks about come, let us reason together. You know, maybe as couples, maybe as friends, whatever the case may be. But how it is, Chris said something the other day that stays with me, and it's probably gonna stay with me for the rest of my life. You know, when he talks about, you know, oftentimes we listen with our ear, but we do not correct me if I'm saying it incorrect, Chris.
You're right.
You know, listen with our ear, but we do not something with our heart. You know,
right.
and so we, you know, and I think that's where we go wrong. You know, we hear what you're saying and we're listening, but we're so busy trying to build up a rebuttal, we're not hearing you from the heart, you know, so that we can understand. Whenever you speak, Toy, whenever you speak, Chris, or whenever you speak, the brother, I forgot your name, I apologize, you know, I need to listen so that I might understand.
Mm-hmm.
And but oftentimes we don't do that. We, you know, I hear you, but I'm busy building up a rebuttal because I need to prove to you that whatever is in my mind is right.
Right.
You know, so how can we tie the two together?
I'd like to tackle that, if you don't mind, Chris, and then feel free to add to it. It starts, honestly, with the renewing of your mind, because, honestly, you have to retrain your brain, literally retrain your brain moment by moment by moment, because, see, the brain is like a computer, and it downloads all these apps, and you can spin out. I call it spinning out, because one thought can turn into like a million more, because that's just the way we're wired. I mean, that's why our energy is so critical, like what we're thinking. We have to renew ourselves with the spirit of our mind, lest we go down that bad path of misperception, which causes misunderstandings, right? So once we get to the point where we are constantly renewing our mind, right, and we're constantly retraining our thought process from the old thought processes, because there are multiple processes, once we get to the point where we do that, then when we're engaging in conversation, we can actually process it effectively. And not only can we process it effectively, but we can respond accordingly, in tune with the true reality based on an accurate perception, which means the ideal behind it will be more clear. So you'll have 50 shades of clarity, as opposed to the blacks and the whites,
I like that.
And the grays.
Can I chime in on that, please, as well?
Absolutely.
Please do.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so Toya is dead on. She's hitting it right on the head. It deals with the renewing of our mind. One of the things that you said is I would like to kind of throw a curveball out there. We don't listen with our ears. We don't see things, but we listen with our minds. Because, again, we can hear the same thing, but depending on how my mind processes that information determines what I take in. And so, as Toya said, we have to understand that the renewing of the mind is extremely critical. In fact, that word renewing, specifically in the text of Romans, that word actually can be translated to renovation, which means that I have to tear down some stuff and rebuild some stuff. And Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians that we have to demolish strongholds. Strongholds, when you say the ideal is so strong, it's a stronghold because it's in my mind. It is not allowing me to see the truth. And how we do that is that we have the Holy Spirit, Christ, they have to be able to teach us what the truth is so that we can demolish the stronghold and we can start renewing our mind. We can renovate our mind so that what we're hearing, we hear it accurately and correctly, not by our perception or within our stronghold.
I like that.
Absolutely.
Y'all doing good tonight. Y'all doing real good. I'm just sitting back, listening. I got my little popcorn over here and everything. It's all good. That's good. And I think so. You're looking at how do you make the connection, as Edward said earlier, and so here's what Toy and Twan have said. It's like, look, you've got to renew your mind. Now, here's the key, Twan, Ed, Toy. How do you renew your mind, and with what do you renew your mind with?
Specifically with the Word of God, I just gotta go there. Specifically with the Word of God, because that is the foundation by which, you know, God is omnipresent and He is in and through everything. So the only way to truly connect with the truth is to start with the truth, which is the Word of God. So it has to start there, because that's the only way. Just like, think of it this way. You probably don't sew. But for those who sew, this is the illustration. I could use basketball another time, but right now I just have to use the needle. A needle and thread, okay? I got to go to my feminine side, okay? So needle and thread. Not to say women can't play ball, because I can, but needle and thread. So I'm going to take this needle, right, okay, and I'm going to take this thread, and I'm going to put it through the needle. In order for me to weave together two pieces of fabric, that thread has to go through both. Right? So in the same manner as I am sewing, you are sewing with either your own thoughts in that dialogue, that conversation, that in your life, or you're sewing it with the thread of the Word of God, which is sharper than a two-edged sword and can cut to the asunder. So when I'm putting that needle in and I'm, you know, in the fabric of our lives, you know, that thread, which holds it all together, has to be the Word of God, because anything less than that, that's where you have holes. That's where you have miscommunications. That's where you have, you know, thoughts and processes that are
off your own.
Yes.
And they can be of our own or from the enemy, to be quite honest with you, because and Toya is on point again, of course, because the Word of God has to be where I start at, and not just even to a point where I'm reading it, but I'm studying it, I'm meditating over it, I'm really praying over it, I'm communicating in my prayer. Prayer is our communication with the Lord, and understanding the scripture identifies that the Holy Spirit is the one that does the teaching. Now, when I am reading the Word or am I studying the Word, I also meditate, meaning that I get the Word inside of me. The Lord told Joshua and Moses, he said, what? Meditate on my word day and night, right?
Right.
And so what we miss with meditation, some of us think that meditation is simply just sitting back in silence and reflecting. That's one part of meditation.
No, but that's only part A. There's part B too.
And the other part of that is that it can be translated to be an utterance, meaning that I am constantly saying it to myself.
Correct.
One of the things that I teach to those who I coach is speak it to yourself in the mirror constantly, because you got to get the word inside. You got to hold on to the word and believe that it applies to me. And the only way that I can do that is if I constantly have a repetition of that word going inside of my spirit, so that when my autopilot kicks in, and I'm not going to go all the way into that, but when my autopilot kicks in, then my autopilot is connected to the Word of God. David said, hide your word inside of me, so what? So that I do not sin against you. In other words, what he said is that
come on, brother.
when I when I put it inside of me on a constant basis,
yes,
I automatically
yes.
move into the direction of what the word is saying. So it's beyond just, and it's, we do start with reading, but we have to go beyond just reading. Meditation,
right.
which means not only to reflect,
oh,
but also
can I
to speak
in?
It into
Ooh.
Myself.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
so,
and I'd
so,
like
so,
to ask,
so,
can I, oh, I'm so sorry.
One moment, real quick, Toy, because I know you're about to blow this out of the box now, but here's what it is. You know, the Bible speaks about let this mind be in you as
mm-hmm.
it is in Christ Jesus. And
mm-hmm.
so what I'm getting from that scripture, God is saying to me, Ed, in order for my mind to be in you as it is in me, then you're going off, even though you were born in sin and shaped in iniquity, you do not have that mind by way of default. That's
mm-hmm.
a mind that you must have when you rid yourself of something, when you rid yourself of self, which means that
mm-hmm.
I need to die daily. I need to subject.
Mm-hmm.
I need to surrender. I need to be.
Mm-hmm.
There need to be a potter and a clay movements going on
mm-hmm.
in order for me to get it. You
yes.
know, and so that's where we need to be, because if we're not at that place, man, we'll be struggling all day long.
Yes, yes. And I just want to add to that, you know, the scripture says to study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman not being ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. To take
yes,
it further, that's
yes,
that the man of God, see, people stop there, but there's more. But wait, there's more. If you read part B of that, it says that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works, okay? So you got to read all of that. You can't just stop at that part, because that part B is critical. Because remember, you'll be thoroughly furnished unto not one part, not part B, not part four, but all good works. Okay?
Yes, ma'am.
So and God works everything together for your good. And to take it a step further than that, remember that God is a consuming fire. So when you're putting that word of God in you, you're burning all that's left. And there's only God that can remain in your life, in your essence of who you are, because that's when you truly die to self, when you let God burn it all down.
Where's my organ when I need it?
We can close shop right now.
But you know, I'm great.
Yes, sir.
That's too funny.
Yes,
sir.
We'll now have a selection
yes.
from the choir.
That's so funny.
So let me kind of walk this back. Okay, so the first part, we've talked about idealism, and we understand that, you know, it's an idea in our head, whether it's a fiction or it's a perception of what we appear to believe that may be our truth. Then we have with our reality, on the other hand, with our present circumstance or situation, and that sometimes the two don't always align together. Okay, am I saying this correctly?
Correct.
Okay, and
correct.
So now what we have to do is we've got to reframe, rebuild, and tear down some old things to make room for some new things, so that the old doesn't come in with the new. This is going to be right on, because I got a little sermonette for y'all for later on, so I just want to make sure I'm lining this up right, because I got a target set on site, and so somebody going to get blessed tonight. So now we got this new thing. So how do we deal with this thing then where it's not what I expected? So you come into this new job, you come into this new relationship, whatever the case may be, and so here you are coming and bringing your perception. They don't meet your reality. So how do we deal with those things called expectations that are there?
Mm-hmm.
Let's work through that.
Mm-hmm. Well, first you've got to start with yourself, because you have to ask yourself, why did I walk in with that expectation? You know, you got to first deal with yourself before you can even get to that other side of that. Here's why. Because once you realize that some of your expectations were unrealistic, once you realize that some of your expectations were not commensurate with the level of the relationship, okay? Once you kind of process through that, then you can understand how better to even communicate and how to conduct yourself in the relationship. Because
if I can add to
that's
that,
critical. Absolutely, absolutely.
If I can add to that, and I'll go a step previous to even to that, a lot of times we move into relationships and we are not honest about what our expectations actually are. And sometimes we don't
what
even
are
know
your intentions?
Are.
Yes, the intentions.
Hey, check this out. We can't even
word.
Define our expectation.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I had one of my best friends, well, he ain't going to mind if I share it, I ain't going to say his name, but one of my best friends just got out of a relationship and is somewhat moving into another one. And one of the things that I asked him, because he was asking me, was it a bad or a good idea? I said, well, what is your expectation of this new young lady? And what he said, well, what do you mean? I don't really have any expectations. Okay, first of all, that's not true. You do. Because when you move into a relationship, there is some form of an expectation. Even if it's something as simple as I expect her to be honest with me or whatever. And so he's going through a lot right now emotionally. And so what I expressed to him, I said, you cannot move into this relationship expecting this young lady to be able to be your support from the standpoint where you're not supporting yourself. So you can't go into this relationship thinking that she's going to build you up. She's going to She's going to build your self-esteem and all these things. And then you get in there and she's not doing some of the things that you want because you didn't correctly identify what your expectations actually were. And so that's the first step. I need to know what is my expectation because I have some. And I have to be able to identify them and then move to the question, why do I have that
identify and communicate. Identify and communicate because sometimes people they identify what their expectations are, but they don't communicate it. So then that's the hole right there because then one person is kind of in the blind trying to please the other person, kind of not knowing what's what, but only not because they're trying, not because they're not trying to do it, but because they don't have direction, they don't have a guide. And that's when the man understands his role and the woman understands her role. Like, I am finally delivered from trying to, like, be that lead person in the relationship. Like, I finally have been blessed with someone who I can trust to lead me. And I am so grateful because it's so much better. And I'm realizing that this, my mentality in the, because I run stuff, you know, I run my business, I run my household, I run this, I run that. Okay, so in this relationship, what I'm realizing is my previous experience has been I toy run stuff, you know, but I need to be led. And I talked to God. I told him, I'm tired of, I don't want to lead. I really want my role. But I had to be careful what you asked for, right? Because now God had to kind of break me down and be like, okay, toy, I got you. Let's do that. Now understand that what that means, because it's one thing to say you want to be led, but it's another thing to understand what that means, right?
To be led.
I use a perfect example.
Another thing also is that a lot of times we venture into relationship with expectations, and these expectations came from, you know, what we were not getting in our relationship with our parent, in our childhood days, you know, expectation from daddy, expectation from mommy, and all that stuff, and we never got it. And so now we are in a relationship with our significant other, and now we have these expectations that we were craving for from dad or from mom, but we're not getting it, and now we expect our spouse to give that. But guess what? That's unrealistic because your spouse cannot give you what your mom and dad should have given you.
That's
you know,
right.
But now your spouse become the person now where all the load of and the trials and everything that mommy and dad never robbed you of, now it became part of your current relationship, and every day you get up and you're fighting and you're bickering and you're arguing basically over unrealistic expectation because your expectation should not be coming from the things that you're expected should not expect it from your spouse, but it's something that is expected from mom or dad, and your spouse just can't give that to you. And you need to come to a realization that, hey, wait a minute now. I'm asking this man or I'm asking this woman for all these things that she cannot or he cannot give to me. The only person that could have given that to me is my mom or my dad.
Right.
The quicker we
come
to that realization is the better our relationship can be.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Antoine, you wanted to comment? You were trying to jump in there.
I can't remember. I was listening to our brother. I can't remember what I was going to say. I apologize.
I'm sorry, Antoine. I'm sorry, man.
Oh, no, that's okay. That's okay. I love what you said. No problem at all.
Toy, what you want to say? Go ahead. That's fine.
Oh, I was going to try to help him circle back. I think we were talking about in relationships, the dichotomy where you are expecting because you did not communicate, and then we kind of went from there, and then Edward circled, you know, back and gave that what he gave to kind of add to what we were talking about, hoping
that
it would jog his memory. But if it didn't work, which one?
She
said
dichotomy.
I'm sorry. Yes. Yes.
Dichotomy. Ed, she's showing off tonight. Boy, I'm telling you, man.
I'm
about to break out the divorce in the dictionary.
I'm trying to Google that right now.
hey, Antoine, it's only because you on the phone, she was like, yeah, the dichotomy.
I would get you, Chris.
You real? I is why tonight.
She's on a roll tonight.
I suppress my big words, but they just jumped out.
Funny.
I can't hold them down, but for so long, I am a true
right.
nerd
I just
at
knew
heart.
It. I just couldn't take advantage of my reality. You know, I had to take advantage of my reality.
You did that. You did that.
Listen to me, Toy. I'm from Jamaica. If I try to pronounce that word, man, I'm going to have a problem biting my tongue in many pieces. So, you know, just keep it simple for me, please.
Yes, sir. So, you know, you have these two opposing forces, the communication and then the non-communication. And then, you know, within that level of communication, you have what are commonly known as assumptions because there is that gap. And the key is to bridge that gap so that, you know, the one thing I try not to use my own example, but I can only go by my own experiences. One thing that's so critical in a relationship is communication, and not just communication, but I have to say, because I used to say communication is the key to happiness, but I have I have amended that to say effective communication is the key to happiness. Because when you're able to be open, honest, and vulnerable, do you know that brings you actually closer together the more vulnerable you are? Sometimes we're so busy trying to hide our faults and hide the things that make us who we are, which are just flaws. Everybody has them, but we don't want our significant other to know that we have them. But when we tear down those walls and we actually talk about, we end up helping each other, you know? And that's where love is. Because, see, that's truth, right? See, that's God right there, you know? That's why it's so critical to be so authentic, to be your best self, because when you're your best self, you can be your best self for someone else, but you can't do that until you're your best self for yourself. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Absolutely. Another word for what you're describing really is intimacy.
Yeah.
It's real intimacy. And
true
that's being
intimacy.
Vulnerable. You know,
yes.
And the word that you said earlier is about trust.
Be naked,
you know,
and honest
communication. And trusting that person. And I trust that I can. Because and maybe I'm naive, and I very well could be, but I genuinely believe that everybody wants to be able to be loved by someone for being themselves.
Yes,
in fact,
no, it's
true. You hear a lot of A lot of people say, well, how did you end up with such and such? Oh, I can just be myself around them. Because the opposite of being myself says that I am wearing a mask. And wearing a mask is fatiguing. You can get fatigued wearing a mask all the time. And so to be able to be honest, be vulnerable, and being vulnerable is very, it's challenging. You know, I've been married
it is.
It'll be 11 years. And
it
we
is.
Still
it's
work
true sign of trust.
Our vulnerability.
True trust. That's true trust, though. That's true trust.
Yep.
And that will carry you so far. Because what I'm learning, you know, I'm a lifelong learner. But what I'm learning, because I'm really actually learning, I'm in my first real relationship in my whole life. Like
Pop it for
I
you,
know
Toy.
It sounds as bad as that sounds. I am 25 plus 2. I'm full well grown. But what I can say is this is the first relationship where we do real things. Like we're very authentic. We discuss, we share, we are sensitive to each other's insecurities, and we don't enable each other, but we empower each other. And that's new. That is so new for me. And so all the things that I had prayed about previously, God has just really blessed us in this, you know, relationship. And I'm so grateful. But guess what? I did not realize any of these things until I worked on myself. It wasn't until I worked on myself and I realized how I had been. I realized my own behaviors that were dysfunctional or unrealistic or, just seriously. It wasn't until I studied myself then I'm able to see better. Again, there's that 50 shades of clarity. So now in this relationship, I can be the best woman that I can be to him. And
simply
because you came
in this relationship, Toy, as a whole
and
person.
And I seek God first because God made him. And see, here's something new that I do. I seek God. Before, I would pray to God about a relationship, what I wanted, what I needed. See, now I talk to God about, I say, God, you made him. You made him. Now you know I need your help with him. So, God, just tell me what to say. Give me the words. Give me the wisdom. Help me discern how to respond to him. Help me. See, that's real prayer in a relationship right there. But this is the first time I've ever done that. And I'm just really, it's awesome. Yeah.
It's important to understand that. And I'm grateful. Thank you for sharing and being extremely transparent in that regard, because it's important for me to understand that I have to identify with myself. I have to have some self-discovery, because if I don't, then I would always say that it's the other person. And there's one common denominator of all my relationships is me. And so even in my marriage, when, you know, we had a rocky time, and, you know, when I went out and did my, you know, adultery and infidelity, that had nothing to do with my wife. I had to do a self-examination, because until I was able to do that self-examination, our intimacy, as we talked about a minute ago, and the willingness for me not only to be vulnerable, but for her to be vulnerable, it was depending on both of us taking a hard look in the mirror and saying, as the scripture identifies, search me, Lord. Show me my deficiencies. Search me, because I want to be more like you. Because when I get closer to you and she gets closer to you, we get closer together. But it starts me looking at Antoine first. And so that's extremely key. Is that I have to look at myself.
The key here that I'm hearing, Toy, especially with you, in order for you to connect to your significant other, you had to come in the relationship as a whole person, which meant that you worked on yourself first. You know, so now you did not come in broken, bruised, and battered, because here's what it is. You know, I put a post on Facebook the other day that when you carry a brick from your old relationship to the new relationship, you will be building the same house. You know,
that's good right there.
So now you are at a place where you have to do, in order for you to in order for you to get that new thing, you had to do a new thing, Toy,
which is
coming into a relationship whole, you know, coming mm-hmm. to a relationship with eyes wide open. And another thing that I heard you said is that when you pray to God about him, you know,
mm-hmm.
which means that, and you're asking God, how can I blank, blank, blank with him? You understand me?
Mm-hmm.
How can I better understand him? And so in order for you to get that understanding, you once again, Toy, deny self. Deny, put aside ego, put aside self and all that stuff.
Yep.
And so that you can be, as the Bible said, be naked and unashamed, because now you're coming in wanting to understand
mm-hmm.
your partner better. Because in order for you to relate to him, you have to understand him.
Yes, that is true.
And
I love it.
I want to speak to also those couples who are currently in a relationship, because you're absolutely, it's great to be able to come into a relationship without that, but there are some of us who have been in relationships that are still broken and bruised, and there's still hope for us. You know, this Friday will mark 11 years that my wife and I have been married, and it has not been a great 11 years. It's been great because God has been glorified through our trials and tribulations.
Mm-hmm.
However,
he worked it all together for your good.
Yep. If you're listening now and you've been in a relationship or you're in a relationship and you notice that you don't have that true intimacy with your spouse, if you know that there's something going on, that you can still put that back together. And it starts
mm-hmm.
with you, yourself. You have
yes,
to have some
can.
self-reflection so that you can know who you are, so that you can, as our sister said, give the best you to your spouse. And so
mm-hmm.
couples that
mm-hmm.
are going through it even now, and you know you've broken, you know you've brought in some baggage from previous relationships, there's still hope. You still can, you know, release some of that. You still can look at yourself so that your relationship, your current relationship, can continue
mm-hmm.
to grow healthier and grow stronger as well.
Yes, sir. Tonight, I don't think this show tonight is
the truth can hurt
Miss Richardson show.
Oh, the truth can change.
Oh, Chris, you're a mess, brother. Oh.
No, I'm sorry. What were you saying?
No, I said I don't think the show tonight is a Chris Richardson show. Man, it's a different type of show tonight.
Hey, man, y'all, this is all about family, man. This is all about growth. It's not about me. I told y'all what my part was
sir.
In this, and I just said I got the clothes, but you guys, you know, you got the beginning, the middle, and everything else right now. So I have a small part in this, and I don't need anything else. That's it. So I'm good. But I think we really can look at if those who are truly listening, you know, Ed said something earlier, you know, and I'll add to what Ed would say and just give it a little bit more accent on the flavor. Lean in with me. You know, lean
mm-hmm.
in with me. Don't push away from me. You know, just lean in and listen. Antoine said, as you're
mm-hmm.
listening with your, you know, attentive ear in terms of what your interpretation may be. I like that. So that's good. So I hope that, you know, you'll be able to glean something from this segment tonight. It wasn't about coming together to bash, you know, any relationship. It's to really give hope. You know, our job is real simple. It's to teach the unadulterated word of truth, and we do that by sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ the best way we can through living example of that, and through truth and transparency, and it's raw. So it's not to use a framework to come with any vindication or put business out there. It's really so that we may grow, so that we reach one, teach one, to help one another. Because at the end of the day, as I said, when you are better, we are better. So it's the focus is not about self or blame game or anything else. That we can't do that. In order for us to grow, we've got to get at the heart, at the feet of God, to understand the desires of God, you know. So that's really, really important. So I did something, you know. We're getting down to like 7 minutes before the hour, and I wanted to do this and then shift direction just a little bit, because when I thought about this segment, you know, I sent both Ed and Twan a message, and I was just saying, hey, you know, I feel God is kind of taking me in a direction that it was speaking about rest. And I think a lot of times when we deal with troubling matters like this, it's hard for you to find rest. That's a peace. Now, there's a difference between peace and rest, okay? I don't have time in this segment to break that down, but just understand there is a difference. But a lot of times we struggle with how we really rest because our minds constantly are churning with new data, new information, new interpretation of what we see, the idealism versus the realism. Is this right? Is that wrong? You know, and there's so many thoughts that come to mind to where we're physically and mentally exhausted, and yet we can lay down and go to sleep all night and get up tomorrow and still be restless. So I want to do something if you all would just indulge me. I thought this was important. So, you know, I want to share something with you that I kind of put together a little bit. So just indulge me for a minute here. We all probably would agree, as I stated and laid the groundwork, that rest, we know that rest is important. I mean, the body needs rest for us to be functioning. However, probably many of us have, other than, you know, I'm sure other than me, have found ourselves getting plenty of rest but yet still tired. Have you ever found yourself worried over this situation or how you're going to pay this bill or that bill, this or perhaps find yourself struggling over how to have this conversation or how to deal with that conversation, and yet you're still fatigued? Family, I want to talk to you tonight from the subject of no rest for the faint at heart. No rest for the faint of heart. And so if you would just allow me to shine a sermonic spotlight on the book of Hebrews, chapter 4, the book of Hebrews, chapter 4. But before I go there, there's a quote by Vincent D'Onofrio who says, "The search for the truth is not for the faint of hearted. The search for the truth is not for the faint of hearted." Hey, if you guys would just mute your movement, I hear a lot of movement that you're moving. Just mute your phone for just a second so I don't have to mute you out, but there's a lot of movement and it's echoing in the background. So he says, if you describe someone or their behavior as faint hearted, you mean that they are not very confident and do not take strong action because they're afraid of failing. This is no time to be faint-hearted. So I want to speak tonight about being faint-hearted, and I'm going to line this up for you in the sight so that you can pull the trigger right on the bullseye. There was a song that I found by Antoine, by a young lady named The Wicked Ones, and it was the lyrics of Dorothy, and it says, this ain't for the faint of heart, because the faint of heart going to fall apart. It's actually a Christian song. The faint of heart going to fall apart. Tonight I want to share three types of rest that you'll need to in order to overcome the faint-heartedness. Three types of rest for those that you can help overcome the faint-heartedness. And so if you look at Hebrews 4, it starts off, and y'all know the book of Hebrews, it's a book about faith and movement and sharing stories and all that, but 4:1 says, "Therefore, since the promise," and I'm reading from the NIV, therefore, since the promise, I just want to put that in again, of entering his rest stands. Let us be careful that none of us be found to have fallen short of it. Verse 2, for we have had the good news. We've had the good news proclaimed to us, just as they did. But the message they heard was of no value to them because they did not share the faith. They did not share the faith of those who obeyed. Now, we who have believed enter that rest. We who what? Believe. We who what, Toy? Believe.
Believe.
Enter that rest, just as God has said. Okay? So I want to read one more thing. It says, therefore, since the what, Antoine? The what? The promise. Therefore, since the promise of entering his rest still stands. So we shine this spotlight on that. There's three types of rest. And I've kind of looked at this thing since the beginning of time. You know, in Genesis, God said, you know, there was a Sabbath rest. Well, I don't want to spend a lot of time there. We know that that's the Sabbath rest. It was on the seventh day. It was a physical rest. And so the children of Israel, you know, they didn't have a hard time following this. So let's just get some rest and so our bodies could be restored. Okay, so we all got the Sabbath rest. Then there's this thing called the salvation rest. Now here the salvation rest is what that's free to us. So those who have accepted Christ and confessed him as our Lord and Savior over our life, we receive what's called a Sabbath rest, okay, a salvation rest. And so Matthew 11:28 really defines that. It says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you what? Rest. Okay.
Rest.
So yeah. I want to really put, rest. I want to put a little bit of emphasis on this next part of rest, because this is significant. And I think that we struggle in relationships dealing with idealism versus realism because our minds are not at rest. Our bodies are not at rest, and our souls are not at rest. So our soul is your mind, will, and your emotions, okay? So, you know, you've got all these things going on in your head, and a lot of it's spewing out of your heart. And so there's this third rest. It's called submission rest. Submission rest. And that's also known as a spiritual rest. If we look over at like Matthew 11:29, it says, "Take my yoke upon me, you, and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Your soul, again, your mind, your will, your emotions. And then, so here's the key. Here's the key. Pay attention, pay attention. I'm coming to get you. The key to submission rest is found in the activation of your faith. Submission rest is found in the activation of your faith. Scripture says that faith comes by feeling. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. See, I threw out feeling for you because some of you all paying attention, and with your interpretation, you were feeling it. But that's not what the scripture says. Scripture says that faith comes by hearing, and what we spent a lot of time earlier in the show talking about is the restoration and renewal of your mind. Let this mind be in you. So in order to have that, you've got to hear the word of God. Therefore, you've got to read the word of God. So it's your faith that produces obedience to God's word. So how do we get to this place called spiritual rest? Okay, so let's go a little deeper. So the majority of us remember the story of Moses. Moses was chosen by God to lead the people to the promised land. Now, here's something that I found that's interesting. Unfortunately, Moses lacked faith. Y'all know, he really lacked faith. I mean, there was a time he did his thing, but he lacked faith necessary to go to the next level. And as a result, it's just unbelief. He hardened his heart. So he had he doubted himself the whole time. He always doubted himself. Yes, he did it. You know, God said, "Hey, Moses, what's in your hand?" He had a rod. He drops the rod and it becomes a snake. He says, "Pick it up." So he was always doubting himself. And then his unbelief, and in his unbelief, what he did, he hardened his heart, and Moses chose to follow his emotions over choosing his faith. Y'all remember that the story ends. He disobeyed God's word. He got angry and struck the rock. Moses died before he could get to the promise. Moses never saw the promise, y'all. So let's put this in perspective here. Let me come down your street right now. Could it be that you were challenged with the same affliction of Moses? Could it be? Okay, so let me bring you in. What do you say, or what do? When you get angry, are you going to hit the rock? Are you going to become the rock? Or are you going to stand on the rock? Come on, somebody. So what are you going to do? So when you feel a certain way about a situation, you're going to hit the rock, you're going to become the rock, or you're going to stand on the rock. You know, Bishop Jake said this before, and I talked about this on the show when he was talking about fences. When we did that segment a couple weeks back, he said some people, their fence, one man's fence is another person's wall. So if you become the rock, you become the wall. But are you going to stand on the rock, which is Jesus Christ? Are you going to stand on the word? So here's what happens. The children of Israel, they never could find rest in God because they were disobedient and disconnected to God. We all know the story. They were trying. Now watch this. This is something that's connecting to what we said earlier. They were trying to take an old mentality into a new place. So what God is trying to do in your life will require a different way of thinking. It's easy to find yourself divorced from your past but still holding on to your pain. Your problems always, I want you to know that your problems always appear to be closer than they really are. But I want you also to know that they weren't meant to break you. They were only meant to build your character and strengthen your faith. So, yeah, we all have problems. But our problems don't have to be bigger than God. And when our problems become insurmountable and they become bigger than God, then the question is, where is God in your life? Where is your faith in action? Where is your obedience in work? Okay? So some of us are physically dying, okay? Now watch this. I'm saying something significant here. Some of us are physically dying. No, some of us aren't physically dying. We're just spiritually dead because of our connections. Now, I want to talk to the ladies for a hot second here. I want to park on this street. Ed, you can get out the car right now. Antoine, you can stand on the side. Ladies, stop connecting yourself to someone or something that will make you feel good for a moment but won't invest in making it last forever. Let me say that again. Yeah, he makes you feel good for the moment, but he won't invest in making it last forever. Keith Sweat said that. Make it last forever and ever, all right? He'll surrender to your flesh, but he won't submit to the will of God. Conversely, fellas, don't be seduced by her beauty or fooled by her words. If she's not connected to enhance your vision, she will only drain your purpose. If she's not connected to enhance your vision, she will only drain your purpose. So don't be distracted to those that are murmuring and complaining and unbelief. You're too close to the promise to abort your destiny. And I really think that there are a lot of people, they're so close to their promise. What you're going through right now is just a test of the emergency broadcast system. God has got you in the right time and the right season dealing with your idealism versus your realism, and you're saying, it's not what I expected. God's saying, I will not put more on you than you can bear. And yet, you're sitting here complaining about this and that, and you're sounding like the children of Israel. And guess what? Not all of them made it into the promised land. Some of them didn't make it. Moses was one. He got angry. He got upset because he led with his emotions, not in his faith. And so he became frustrated. So I want you to don't be so blinded by your pain and frustrated by your misery that you give up, give the enemy a stronghold. Twan said stronghold earlier. Here's the word repeated. Don't be blinded by your pain and frustrated by your misery that you give an enemy a stronghold on your life. Pain is not permanent, but the promise is forever. Okay, so let me park right there again. Even though Moses didn't lead the children of Israel, God still carried out his promise to the children of Israel, right? It says that in Scripture. So if we look at, he selected Joshua to take them in. If we look at verse 8, here we find verse 8. And again, I'm writing Scripture. He said, for if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken later about another day. All right, so it's right there in the text. He takes Joshua. So, again, I want you to know that pain is not permanent, but the promise is forever. If God gave you a promise, all you got to do is stand on the promise. Yes, you may be going through a situation right now. You may be going through a little hiccup on the road. You may experience turbulence. I've flown in many planes before, and oftentimes they'll say, put on your seatbelt. You've got to put on your seatbelt and strap in and prepare yourself for the ride, because this ride of where you're going, you're going higher, and the higher you go, this is a different altitude, Tuan, that he's trying to take you to. And the higher the altitude comes, the greater the challenge. The greater the challenge comes, the greater the blessing. So what you may look at right now is what your pain point may be. Your pain may take you to your promise and get you connected to your purpose. Don't curse your pain, because pain is only temporary, but the promise is forever, okay? So the next point I want to say is that if you want to rest in God, you've got to pursue the rest of God. All right, look at verse 12. For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing the soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Again, if you want to rest in God, you have to pursue the rest of God. That means you've got to pursue him in reading, and you've got to get sharper in that. You've got to go deeper in understanding in your word. We talked about renewing your mind in the word. Antoine talks about meditation and repeating it back, getting in the mirror and speaking over your life. You've got to command that thing, so you call those things out as though they are, so that you would have those things, because life and death is what? It's in the power of the tongue. So you got to, if you're going to go deeper, you got to get understanding so that you can understand the desires of God. So I just want to forewarn you, one Sunday service won't do. Opening your Bible twice a week won't do. Praying every other day won't get it. God wants your heart to be at rest. God wants your heart to be at rest. And then if you look at this word, Tuan, I looked this up in the Hebrew. So if we look up the word rest, the word is katapausis, right? It means God's rest is entered when the believer is confidently assured within and outwardly lives peaceably in the assurance of God's daily provisions. All right, so I unpack this in three ways. So, number one, I said to be constantly assured means you believe his word in your heart. That's a sign of confidence. It's in your heart, okay? Two is you show it in your actions. That means you live it. That doesn't mean that you go to church on Sunday, you put the mask on, and so you look good, but then you're coming out, you won't speak to your neighbor, or you're going to work, you're fussing, complaining, and all this. So you're not being authentic. You're being fake. You're being phony. And the third thing is, you share it in your words. So Resting in the truth means being confident in God's promise in spite of what you see or how it sounds. So, yeah, okay, we got a situation right now. But I say, thanks be to God for the situation. Because on the other side of this situation, Tuan, that's your promised land. See, the children of Israel, they made it harder than what it needed to be because they didn't learn their lessons. Whatever lesson that you didn't learn now, you will repeat later. So it's important that you learn your lesson so that you can move forward to get into your promise so that you can have a rest, that a rest of God and be rested in God. So this is real short. In closing, I just want you to remember a few things, that there's no rest for the faint at heart. You can't be weak in your faith. You got to stand strong in your faith. You got to be convicted in your faith. You got to know without a shadow of a doubt that who God is, who you are, and what you believe. Because even an atheist believes, if you don't believe, the sad part is your faith will never find rest. Your soul will never find rest. Your spirit will never be at rest. And so you'll wonder, here I am, day in, day out, I can't sleep. I'm up at night, whatever the case may be, because your spirit is trying to get something into your soul. God is trying to use the Holy Spirit to speak into you, and that means this, you need to pour. There's an outpouring of His Word that He wants to get into your heart. And so I want you all to know that, the objects in the mirror always seem closer than they really appear. Okay? Yeah, it's painful right now, but the objects are always closer. So your problem, again, was not meant to break you. It was only designed to build your character and strengthen your faith. And lastly, the pain is not permanent, but the promise is forever. So remember, the journey of faith isn't for the faint of heart, but even the faint of heart receives a promise. That's all I got to say tonight. So I hope that something that was said, shared, was a blessing to you, posted in the group. I just wanted to connect that there's the rest that you need. It's not physical rest. It's not salvation rest if you've accepted Christ. If you haven't accepted Christ, it's not too late to do so. You can always do that tonight, even on the show, by pressing 1, and we'll walk you through the right hand of accepting, not the right hand of fellowship, but accepting Christ as your Lord and Savior. It's never too late to confess, because if you want a relationship vertically, right, or horizontally, you got to make sure your vertical relationship is in order. If your vertical relationship is out of order, your horizontal relationships will never be in order. Okay? You might as well put up an out of order sign on it right now. So that's all I have. Submission rest is what you need to do. Research that. Submission rest, that's a spiritual rest where God wants you to be at a peace that will pass all understanding, regardless of the circumstance or situation. You just say, I'm standing as a Paul S. Morton would say, I'm standing. You know, after all that he's been through, at all that God took him through, he's still standing, and you stand on that word, that God will never leave you nor forsake you, nor have you seen his righteous begging bread, okay? So thoughts, comments, questions, Toy, Twan, let's jump back in. What's your thoughts on the outline, I guess, I shared tonight?
It was spot on. All the different elements and the layers and the manner in which you shared it was just excellent. I mean, submission is just so critical, and the other areas of rest are equally critical. So and that goes into play in talking about being complete, wanting nothing. So that's what it brought me in the mind of, that scripture, you know. So when you have all those different levels of rest, then you are complete, perfect, entire, wanting nothing. And that's perfection in Christ. And so it's until you can reach that state, truly, you know, we strive every day. So I'm not saying that I'm perfect, but I'm so much closer to that state than I have ever been in my whole life. So, you know, it's from glory to glory. And that's with everyone. So I just want to really share with the audience to be patient where you are, and God will meet you where you are, but He will also take you where you need to go, and that's where the love is.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Swan, what are your thoughts or comments?
I mean, I couldn't agree more. I mean, I really don't feel like there's anything really that I can add on what you said or what Toya said. Definitely in agreement. It very well said, very well spoken. So that's really all I have.
Yeah, we you know, our job here is really just to be the salt, you know, and the salt is to serve, provide a level of accountability, to love, and to teach. So if you've got information, holding it in is doing no one any good. That's called being selfish. our job is to take information that we download from God, that He gives us in our personal experiences and our devotional times, and to try to bring clarity to life for you so that you can see a living example and a practical example as well, as so that it can align and create a new paradigm shift for you, to be frank. That's what we try to do. So I hope that something that Sherrod said tonight on the topic of idealism versus realism, it's not what I expected. And I think that what you have to learn is that sometimes you've got to change your expectations or redefine through your mindset by cleansing and renewing of the word, number one, for you to get a different outcome. If you don't do that, you're taking, it's just like no different than the children of Israel. They're going to get to the promised land, but the problem is the pain is still there. Excuse me. You can't take, you don't want to take, and say, take an old brick to a new house because you still build the same house. That was good, wasn't it, Juan? When he said that, yeah. I heard you. You were like, ooh, that was, I'm going to use that one. Yeah, that was good. But so that's really it, guys. I mean, I hope that we really struck on some things tonight. We always love to hear thoughts, comments, questions as well. If you want to post or share a thought tonight before we close out, the number to dial in is 619-924-0869. You can also post on our Facebook group, The Real Talk with Chris Richardson Show. I want to welcome several of the new members who just joined. I see you out there. So welcome to the show. This show airs every Monday night at 9 p.m. We talk about things, matters of the heart. It's to help you live better, love deeper, and laugh more. It is not about helping you feel good. It's about challenging you from the inner side to be a better man or a better woman from the inside out and to connect your vertical alignment in the right way. So that's what we do. So if you're looking for a show to where you can grow or something that's being said that's not for radio, this is the place that you really want to be, and it's all about relationships. So it begins with you and ends with you. So remember, if you don't change, neither will your circumstances. Well, if you all don't have anything for me, Toy, Antoine, any closing comments, thoughts that you want to share before we back up tonight and shut down?
Yes, I have just one closing comment. Just want to thank the listeners for really, you know, being here with us. And I just hope and pray that, you know, even if it's just one thing that any of us said that can permeate in your spirit to know to never give up and to always live love daily. I'm doing a tour, which is the Go Where the Love Is tour based on the book and that I've written. And in this tour is a business and personal development tour. Starts in Raleigh this weekend. I'll just, for sake of time, post the sponsors in the chat. But I just want to say the destination, it starts with you, and you can't go anywhere else in life until you deal with yourself, and you cannot see further. Your vision can go no further than what you see within yourself. So understand that it's just so critical to really, really, really examine yourself so that you can not only see that you'd be worthy of the faith, but you can actually enjoy and experience the love and relationships that God has ordained for your life.
Amen. Amen. Amen and amen. Twan?
Yeah, I'm very grateful to be able to be here to share and to listen and to glean from these conversations. This topic that we discussed today is extremely vital. I just encourage those who are listening, if you have an opportunity to go back and re-listen to the broadcast, because there were some very powerful things that was shared. Don't take it for granted. Listen to what God allowed us to share with you and continue to have an ear toward what He's speaking throughout your days.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's been, listen, a treat and a pleasure to come to you once again. I feel like next week, I'm not sure if I can do it or not. I really want to get into the topic of forgiveness. And so I've got a special guest in mind that I want to unpack that with. So I'm going to see if I can reach out this week and see if his schedule will allow before I announce him, certainly for sure. And if so, I'll bring a special guest to you next week. If not, depending on his schedule, hey, Twan, Toy, we may have to handle that subject on dealing with forgiveness for sure. And I think that we're quite capable, certainly, of doing that. But if I can't get the guest, then guess what? We on. And we'll figure it out. So next week's topic is to be announced, as well as the guest is to be announced as well. So thank everyone for listening tonight. Tell a friend, tell a neighbor about the show that they can tune in every Monday night at 9 p.m. Connect with us on social media at The Real Talk with Chris Richardson Show. Spread the news, spread the love, and share the wealth, okay? Thank you, family, for listening. God bless, and good night.
Good night, everyone. Great job, guys.